from Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 21st, 2008. Each week, this podcast examines topics and trends related to geospatial technology. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Denver, Colorado.
This week, we want to acknowledge the abundance of location information out in the world and tackle a related question. How do we protect ourselves from that very information? How much can we rely on automated systems to protect us from the dangers of location data and services? How much must we do on our own? What types of protection do we not have that we should have? We want to explore those questions after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
The idea that I have swimming around in my head lately is about the ubiquity of geographic information and geographic tools and services. And it's becoming clear to me that now that we have all of this information, we need to protect ourselves from it. It's maybe analogous to the situation where we have this abundance of food and fast food and bad food here in the United States, and we have to figure out how to protect ourselves from it. I'm not sure that's the best analogy, but I think it gets the point across. So what I've done over the past couple of days is put together some techniques that are already available from, in a sense, protecting ourselves from location services and data. And let me just start with those so we get an idea of what we're talking about here. One of the new innovations that hit the web last week had to do with a service that you can install on your cell phone, which basically prevents communication on the cell phone, that is chatting, texting, or using the internet, while the cell phone is traveling at a certain speed. So in a sense, that's going to protect you, ideally, from talking on the phone, texting, and so forth, while you're driving. Now, there is an override if you happen to be the passenger or if you happen to be traveling, say, on a bus. So it's not clear how effective that'll be, but it might help. And it's really aimed at protecting young people, new drivers, from being distracted while driving. But there are other tools out there as well. You could consider the technologies that are available in both Fire Eagle and in Geode, that add-on for Firefox that we talked about a couple weeks ago, that allow you to fuzz up your actual location before you send it to a service. So that, in a sense, protects you from sharing your detailed location information, but rather fuzzes it up to a higher level so people don't know exactly where you are should that information get out to folks you don't want to have it. I would consider innovations in something like TomTom's MapShare as a way to protect yourself from geographic data, and in particular, that element that allows you to make corrections on the data that's in your particular sat-nav device. Now, you can share those with others, but if you make those changes in your device, you're protecting yourself when you know that the data is wrong. And finally, just some of the new tools within Google Maps, where after you set a route, you can actually change it by dragging it to a different set of roads. That allows you, in a sense, to protect yourself from the route that they gave you and maybe make a better one if you happen to know that a particular highway has higher traffic accidents or you're just not comfortable traveling on certain roads. So those are some of the kinds of things that I collected as technologies and techniques to protect ourselves from location challenges.
I wanted to comment on the application that you mentioned about the install for the cell phone and protecting young drivers. I think that what we're seeing is now very targeted applications of location. This is a sort of a very niche application. A few of the people, when we blogged that information, had a comment that, oh, this was the dumbest thing possible. And it's really, comment was taken out of context, I think, of the real application. I think it's a fantastic application. Again, being a parent, I would want to see an application like this, but the real point is that this is a very specific application for drivers on mobile devices, and I think we're going to see more of these types of applications in other types of markets. From the business standpoint, I think there are going to be like types of applications. For example, if it is a driver of a service vehicle, you don't want to distract him, but you may want to alert him of a change in a call, a change in a route. I think today we already have some of these things available to us. You had mentioned changing the route on Google. Well, many of the cell phone applications that do navigation have a little detour button. Don't go on this route. There is a detour up ahead. There's an accident up ahead. I can't go on the route that you planned for me. So I'm going to hit the detour button and go around this, and please find me a new route. So I think we're going to find a lot of these new niche applications coming on board.
But I think you bring up two really good points. One having to do with, and mostly I was focusing on sort of consumer applications, but you're right, there really is a place for some of these kinds of things in the business world, and some of them already exist. I have a good friend who is a delivery person, and the trucks that his company provides him with have, and he used this word, I had never heard it used this way, the truck has a governor. And what the governor does is it prevents the truck from going beyond a certain speed, which I believe in this case was 60 miles an hour. That definitely restricts and ideally protects the truck from going that fast and potentially, I guess, cutting down on accidents and so forth.
And eventually what you're doing is you're protecting the business from liability. And I think that's one of those key applications that I think businesses will avail themselves of.
Right. And I think the other point is that, yeah, this particular service is specifically being marketed to especially parents of young people who are newer drivers, are potentially more likely to be distracted. And I think we have to be realistic that these are helpful. There is an override, certainly, and if somebody really, really wants to talk on their cell phone when they're driving, they're going to do it. But this is sort of a reminder, hey, you shouldn't be talking on the phone now because you're driving. And I think that's the way we need to look at any of these kinds of technologies. They're helpful. They're reminders. The fact that in Geode, it gives you the opportunity to decide how much you want to fuzz up your location. It's just a reminder, hey, you may not want to give out your exact location. And I think we need to be really realistic about what these can and cannot do for us.
I think what we're going to see are these trial and error types of things coming about. You know, how much do you want to fuzz up your location? What types of devices do you want to install, whether it's a mobile application or whether it's on your mobile computer, PC, your laptop as you're traveling? We're really just at the beginning stages of this, and we're seeing these little apps crawl out of the woodwork to be really beta applications of what coming down the pike. I wanted to bring up Doppler as one of those applications because I found it an interesting tool for the business travel. I'm currently traveling. I would like to allow my wife to know where I am, when I arrive, if I don't automatically call her on the phone, and whether that's through my mobile device or when I boot up my laptop. I thought that was a kind of a neat application to kind of share my location. It's not a protecting way, but it is in a way, you know, right? You do want other people to know where you are, and I think that you'll see more of these applications.
Do you want to just explain what Doppler does for those who haven't seen it?
Doppler is an application, more of a social networking application for travelers who can install a little app where you can share your location with other people. It's entirely an opt-in type of a service where, hey, if you want to show your location, tell somebody how you can do it, and then they can observe where you are.
So in a sense, this is an automatic, it sounds like what you want is an automatic reminder that if you don't call in to home, for example, the phone will, in a sense, automatically tell the folks at home where you are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very similar to one of the things that some of the cellular carriers provided in terms of like a friend finder or a family finder where they use a geofencing application. This is not a geofencing application. It's more like a direct location finder, but similar in a way to that protection that you want to have for yourself to say if a person enters an area or there's an alert that pops off. So it's similar, but not exactly the same.
Maybe what I would say is that as opposed to the list that I gave, which were really about, in a sense, protecting yourself from location information, what you're doing is protecting yourself by using location information.
Right, correct.
Right, so there's sort of both sides of this. And this can be pushed to the extreme. I'm reminded of a series of articles that Jerome Dobson wrote about geo-slavery. Do you remember those? It was a couple
a couple of years ago.
This absolute scariest scenario that he wrote about, and this has stuck with me all these years, is if you put one of those tracking bracelets on your child, and it can't be removed by the child that has a special key that only the parent can unlock. I mean, he told this horrendous story where, well, if somebody kidnaps your child and they don't want you to know where the child is, they might cut off the kid's arm. which to me was just completely, you know, ideally using location to protect somebody, but it having exactly potentially the opposite effect.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a scary application. I remember when the Wearify applications came out, the people may remember Wearify, where you put the bracelet on your kid or whoever, could be your grandparent who's got Alzheimer's, to make sure that you knew where they were at all times. It was a very early innovation. I think people were probably a little bit freaked out about something like that.
So the far end of this spectrum, then, is just, in a sense, opting out, of the big opting out, not using any of these technologies. And it's becoming harder to do, and yet it is possible. So here in Boston, we have Charlie cards that we use. They have RFID chips, and you load money in, and that's how you travel on a public transportation system. Well, you have the option of registering that card as being associated with you, and what that means is if you should happen to lose it, they'll know how much money was on it, and you can not lose that value. On the other hand, if you register it, they know who is associated with moving between these different stations and on these different buses. So your choice. Is it worth registering or not? I have yet to register mine. Another thing that comes up, again, related to transportation, are these fast pass kinds of sensors that you put in your car that automatically pay the tolls.
Right, the electronic toll collectors, yeah.
Right. I mean, if you use those, information is collected about, you know, they know whose car it is, and ultimately it could be tracked. Well, your other option is to do it the old-fashioned way and throw the coins into the basket.
I doubt many people realize that they could be tracked when they use those electronic toll collecting devices. That's maybe an instance of some naivete on the people who use those things, or ignorance, because they just may not know exactly what it does. All they know is that it pays a toll.
Right. Well, and that really gets down to, there are tools out there to protect ourselves, but we as consumers need to be very much aware of the potential of location information being collected about us, and be realistic about whether we choose to have the convenience of an automated toll collection solution or not. The last thing I wanted to bring up was if there are any protection devices or techniques that we'd like to see. And one of the ones that I have, just because this comes up so often, is once you zoom down far enough on any of your favorite mapping portals and you're looking at the imagery data, I would love it if somewhere something popped up and said, hey, the data that you're looking at is X years or months old, because that is a place where people get into trouble all the time.
I think that's an excellent idea. I wish that there would be some way to use the metadata in the imagery to display that. I think it would serve as a great educational advantage to people using imagery. Right now, we think that things are more real-time, or we assume that they were recent, and I think it's an absolute necessity. I think we should see that in the future.
True, and that sort of ties into this whole idea of getting real-time information. One of the other ways that we can protect ourselves from routing issues is to have real-time traffic and real-time weather involved in designing that best route to get us from here to there. So that's something you've been going on about for some time, that we need to integrate that into our routing systems and for the consumer level. That's definitely going to protect you from running into traffic and getting frustrated and causing more accidents and so forth.
Right. All the more reason to incorporate some metadata, some information regarding a timestamp on whether it's real time or whether it's 2 years old. You don't want to reroute yourself around someplace that isn't there or is currently blocked off. Or conversely, you want to route yourself on a new road that may not be represented in your current nav device.
Right. I brought this up recently with a representative from Digital Globe who informed me that consumers don't want that information. They don't want that metadata. I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree as well. You have to let somebody understand what they're getting let them make that decision.
Right, and in a sense, warn them when they could get themselves into trouble. Well, that's all the time we have today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, wants to be sure that you don't miss the November 7th deadline to submit an abstract for the 2009 ESRI Federal User Conference. Present your GIS applications, best practices, and lessons learned at the only geospatial conference dedicated to the federal government. For more information, visit www.esri.com/ FEDUC. That's FEDUC. If you'd like to make some comments on today's podcast or any podcast we've had, or suggest a topic for a future podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.